Now, I just have to tell you, the Bible is a remarkable book. Did you ever notice that? Okay, and it's not remarkable in just one way. It's remarkable in many ways. It just so happens that the person who put it all together is called the Holy Spirit. And if you want to be astounded at a mind beyond your comprehension, all you got to do is look a little bit at the way the Bible is organized. Now, one of the little peculiarities in the Bible sometimes uses happens in the passage of Scripture that Rhonda read to you this morning, and you might miss it. It is an actuality. It's a story in which two stories are woven together. Now, the biblical scholars have a name for this. They call it a chiasm because the Greek letter X is chi, and when you lay these stories across each other like two X's, they touch in particular points. Okay, and you're supposed to see that, but so often we miss it because we're not trained to think like the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, what I want to do is I just want to show you how these two stories are laid on each other. Because when you see it, you go, "Oh my, it's lovely, it's beautiful." You ready? The first story is about a little girl. The Bible tells us she was 12 years old, and she was dying. We don't know why she was dying. We don't know if she had been sick for a long time or a short time. We don't know any of that because the Bible doesn't tell us any of that. All that we know is that this little girl, 12 years old, was dying. We're told that she was her father's only daughter, not his only child, but his only daughter. And those of you who have daughters, they tell me that fathers in particular tend to get real attached to them. And so he was distressed. Really worried. And so even though he was a big shot in the local synagogue and knew that the authorities, that is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, would disapprove of his decision, in desperation the man came to Jesus, begging Jesus to heal his little girl. His intention was to bring Jesus home so that Jesus could help his girl. And Jesus' intention was to go home with him so he could help the guy's daughter. But as they made their way to the house, the crowds were pressing in upon Jesus. Now, if you've ever tried to walk through a crowd, you know that it's tough. They slow you down. The people were all excited by Jesus' presence. They wanted to touch Jesus. They wanted to experience Jesus. They were pushing and shoving and slowing Jesus down. His progress was slowed because the people around him would not let him move quickly and freely. Now, I just came up the aisle, okay, when we were greeting each other. And all those people from that community over there, no name mentioned, were standing right there in the center and wouldn't move. I had to shove Lil out of my way to get by. I mean, when you have a purpose, okay, it is very difficult to be contained by a crowd, particularly when they won't get out of your way. It's even worse when they're not talking to you, okay, but to each other and won't get out of your way. Okay, but Jesus had to be frustrated by the fact that he could not move freely to get to the place he needed to be, to do what he needed to do in order to help the guy he wanted to help. You understand? But there was in the crowd a woman who was suffering from an internal hemorrhage that had plagued her for 12 years. Oops. The X's just touched. You see it? The little girl was 12 years old. The woman who touched Jesus had been suffering for 12 years. The woman had been sick for as long as the child had been alive. The woman was convinced. She had convinced herself that if she touched Jesus, if she could just touch Jesus, not talk to him, not have a discussion with him, if she could just touch him, She would be healed of the problem that had bothered her for 12 years. She got close to him through the people, wiggled her way through the crowd. She got close to him and she touched him as he was on his way to the little girl's house. She just barely touched him, ever so slightly. But she was instantly healed. Instantly. Now the Bible says that Jesus knew he had been touched in a peculiar way. Not just the crowd shoving him, he knew that too, but he knew that something had happened. It says that he could feel healing power flow from him to the woman. He knew that something had happened. So Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the question astounded Peter. Peter could not imagine that Jesus could be concerned under the circumstances by being touched. I mean, he was in a crowd. But Jesus insisted that the person who touched him must come forward and acknowledge what had happened. Now, when I read this part, I actually thought of Avis. Okay? I mean, this poor woman didn't want to be noticed. Okay? I mean, she didn't want to cause a commotion. She just wanted what she needed, what she thought she could get from Jesus. She hoped nobody would notice. She just wanted to fade into the background. She literally wanted to escape. Can you imagine the pressure she felt when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And then he wouldn't stop until she came forward and acknowledged not only that she was the one who had touched him, but told him the whole story, the long illness, how that little touch had done what nothing else in life could do, how she had been instantly cured when she touched Jesus. And he said to her, "Daughter, you see it? Touched again, the story's cross. Daughter," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I have to point out to you that there's one essential thing going on here. There's another contact in the X. That woman wanted to be healed. She wanted to be healed. The guy who came to Jesus wanted his daughter to be healed. Now you listen to me. You don't really want it? There's power in the blood, but it ain't touching me. If that's your attitude, you're going to live with your problem. 12 years or longer, you're going to carry it around. But there is power in the blood. And they wanted the power that was in the blood of Jesus, so they came to him seeking his touch. The guy for his daughter, and the woman for himself, for herself. They wanted to be healed. Now, I got to tell you that there's a whole dynamic in this story which drives me literally. Can you imagine me, the father of this little girl? Okay? I get myself all worked up. I go get Jesus. I know everybody in the whole cotton-picking church is going to disapprove of what I'm doing. They're going to find me a hypocrite. They're going to throw me out. I'm going to lose my job. Everything's over. I get myself to do it. I get there. I beg the guy to come. I get him moving in the right direction. We're being slowed down. And then he stops to talk to a stupid woman. She's been sick for 12 years. Everybody knows she's sick. It's not gonna matter if she waits one more day. My little girl, Jesus, is home dying. Get a move on, bud. I need you at my house now. Can you imagine how frustrated that important man was as he stood there while Jesus carried on this lengthy conversation with that woman while his child, his only daughter, was dying? Can you imagine? And then, just as we get to the instant when the conversation with the woman is over and we're starting to move again, here comes the servant who says, in effect, "She's dead. It's over. Don't bother Jesus anymore. There's nothing he can do. Your daughter is already dead." Imagine what happened in his gut at that moment. Just a couple lessons before we move on. Lesson number one, don't ever forget that Jesus is full of compassion. He is full of compassion. He is concerned about whatever it is you face in your life today. Jesus is full of compassion. There is never a moment when the Savior is unaware of you, when he doesn't know what's going on. There's never a moment when you can reach out to touch Jesus that he doesn't know you've reached out to touch him. It never happens that way. He is always full of compassion. But lesson number two, you cannot hurry Jesus. Oh, believe me, I have never tried. There has never been a moment in my life when I have forgotten that and walked up to Jesus and say, "I need it now." Not only do I say to him, "I need it now," I tell him what I need now. Okay, you all know me. Most of you have lived with me for a long time. Can you imagine what I would have said to Jesus if he had stopped to talk to that woman if I wanted him at my house now? I don't care who he is. I'd have told him. We'd have been moving. I'd have had the hem of his garment. You can bet on it. She's already healed. Let's go. You don't do that, right? None of you ever get to the place where you think you can get Jesus to put a move on and to do what you want him to do now because you think it needs to be done now. And you think it's this that needs to be done now. You can't hurry Jesus. And lesson number three, there is always something that Jesus can do. I want to smack the servant. Don't bother him anymore. There's nothing he can do. She's dead. It may not be what you want him to do. It may not be done according to your timing for when it should be done. But Jesus Christ never lacks power to affect or effect what we face. Oh yeah, never. There is always something Jesus can do. Jesus is always, not sometimes, Jesus is always the answer. Always. There is always something Jesus can do. So Jesus looked at the little girl's dad, and he said to her, "Do not be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Oops, it touches again. So what he said to the woman, "Your faith, your trust, your belief has made you well." And what he says to the suffering father, to the grieving father now, is don't fear, just trust me, just believe. It's the center of the X, folks. It's the place where the stories cross in their most intimate way. Just believe. If the girl's father will just trust Jesus as the woman who had been sick trusted Jesus, then like the woman, the girl will be healed. Maybe not the way the father thinks. May not happen on earth. May occur when she gets to heaven. But if he will trust Jesus, there is something Jesus can do, and she will be whole. Like the woman, she, he, we must believe if we want to be healed. Now notice, if you will, please, that Jesus did not argue with the news. You want to know what that means? Fact is simple. The little girl was dead. She had died. And Jesus didn't argue with the news because Jesus knows everything and he knew she was dead. Later on, in fact, in the story, the Bible will say that her spirit returned to her. She was, in fact, dead. But Jesus has the power to impact everything we face in life, even death, if we will just trust him. Jesus has power to raise the dead. And notice that Jesus is not obliged to move according to our time frame. He does the same thing with Lazarus. He lets him die. Because Jesus is not obligated to do what I want him to do when I want him to do it, although I wish he was. The point is that I don't control him. He controls me. And when it seems like it's out of control, that's when I need to trust him most. I need to say, in the face of the forces which cause me not to believe, I will believe. I will trust Jesus. Because the secret is trust. It's belief. If we trust him, that's what the word means. If we believe in him despite the circumstances set before us by life, if we just trust Jesus, he will always come through. May not be the way I want him. May not do it when I think he should show up. May even be after the horrible thing that I fear most has broken upon me. But you know what? He'll come. If I trust him, he'll come. The Bible says he will come. But faith, belief, trust is at the center of it all. It's the center of the X. It's right there. If you trust Jesus, you will be saved. Now, when Jesus arrived at the little girl's house, a funeral had started. People had already come to mourn the passing of the little girl. You know, folks, it is a sad thing when a child dies. And all those people who gathered at that house to mourn that little girl had no faith. For when Jesus said, "She is not dead, just sleeping," you know what they had the audacity to do in the face of our Master? They laughed at him. They laughed in Jesus' face. You know why? Because the little girl was clearly dead. There was no doubt in anybody's mind that the child was dead. She was, in fact, dead. But Jesus touched her. He said, "Little girl, wake up." And the spirit, her spirit, returned to her. And when she woke up, guess what she was? Hungry. The stories overlap. They twist and they bend together. And while faith is at the center of the X, laid right on top of it is Jesus' touch. He touched the woman. Or she touched him, but there was touch. He put his hand on the little girl and touched her. And oh my, if you've ever been touched by the Master, oh, you know that that touch makes all the difference. And if you've not been touched by the Master, oh, how he wants to touch your life today. If you just trust him, if you will but believe, Jesus will lay his hand on you today and set you free.